may also be so divided in their interpretation. Since we may dream of water, we may dream of a beautiful sea. We are either sitting on the shore enjoying the splendor of it, or we are on a safe ship sailing upon it, or we are looking with great pleasure and happiness at a wonderful sunset over the sea. These are sea as friend or friendly symbols. Then we may have the sea as the mischievous symbol, in which we're in a small boat tossed about and become seasick. The sea isn't really doing us a great deal of harm, but it is unpleasant. Or we may find the sea dashing itself against the shore and covering us with spray. Or we may have built a little castle by the edge of the sand, and the sea comes in and destroys it. Here we have the sea as a mischievous factor, not really evil, but either pleasant or annoying to a degree. Then we have the sea as danger, the great storm, the tidal wave, the terrible inundation. We find ourselves upon the sinking ship, cast upon the waters. We now find the sea is something we have to fight in order to survive upon a little life raft, or that we are struggling to prevent ourselves from drowning, and the great waves break over us or beat us against the shore. These are the sea as danger. So we may say that all symbols, or nearly all symbols, certainly all in which such modifications are possible within the scope of the symbol itself, all such symbols with their divisions can and do represent three conditions. The condition of the benevolence of a symbol, the condition of an intermediate uncertainty containing some benevolence and some that is not so good, and the malevolent meaning of the symbol as danger, hazard, or disaster. In studying dream symbolism, there is certainly a tendency for persons under pressures of various kinds to develop what might be termed disaster dreams. But this situation is not necessarily consistent. We will say, however, that abnormalcy leads to the exaggeration of symbols. That an individual will suddenly come into a situation that is unreasonable in its significance or in its meaning, and therefore shows distinct exaggeration. Another phase of our subject is the combination of symbolic forms to produce monstrosities, chimera of one kind or another, or non-existent creatures. This type of dreaming was held to have great religious significance by the ancients. We are now inclined, however, to think that these composite dream entities represent compound dream symbols. And in these compounds, they are somewhat more difficult to determine than in simple patterns. We are also fully aware that the dream situation can consist of kaleidoscopic and comparatively dim and uncertain dream pictures. There may or may not be any continuity in a dream. It may seem to unfold as an orderly sequence or pattern of affairs, and when this occurs, the dream is regarded usually as more important. The more clearly defined the incidents are, the more likely they are to be remembered after the dreamer awakens. There are chaotic dreams, however, in which there is nothing but fragmentation, in which things do not take any reasonable patterns, do not assume any forms with which we can find consistent or connected meanings. Another interesting phase of dream symbol is the frequency with which faces are missing in dreams. We may dream about people, but for the most part, we do not actually see these people in their clear and natural appearance. We either have only an impression of who they are, or there is a certain vagueness about persons, whereas other objects may be extremely clear. There is, however, a variation upon this theme, where, for some reason, faces or recognizable likenesses are extremely clear, then we must assume that there is a specialization involved in this type of dream, a specialization which we will also discuss a little later. But it becomes a certain kind of specialized dream intensity. We do not generally use persons in their proper forms as dream symbols, because usually we have already interpreted these persons into their symbolic equivalents in our own subconscious. One exception may be, of course, the dream of the so-called celebrated person. The dream of a person, probably not known to us personally, whose likeness has descended to us so clearly in tradition that we almost inevitably identify that person. Usually in these cases, the likenesses which we see are also the traditional appearances, derived from art or from other sources in which such perpetuation is possible. In the case, for instance, of dreaming of Abraham Lincoln, we would almost certainly have a strong symbolic likeness available to us, which might cause definite clarification. The same is true in certain religious dreams, where dreams of Christ and of Mary and of the angels may take on a very clear and definite form. One of the reasons this type of dream is held to be more significant than other kinds of dreams is this very circumstance that the persons involved are extremely clearly etched upon consciousness, this causing a considerable difference to the general type of dream. Having, therefore, certain of these generalities available to us, we can begin to think of various types of common or familiar symbols with which we have certain associations. The moment we think of the birds or the animals or the flowers or the trees, let us also think in terms of what these have held as traditional meaning. And in most instances, our own determination of this will answer our question. Because when checking these kinds of lists, it is not surprising to find considerable originality. And the interpretation given by the person may not be the most common one, but the one that was most common to him, or the one which was the natural result of his own attitude toward life. Now, flowers represent a very good example of levels of meaning, peculiarly because of their relationships with many of the important functions of life. For instance, flowers can and often do represent birth. Flowers represent marriage because they are associated with marriage. Flowers represent remembrance because they are used at seasons for greetings. And then, of course, on the more melancholy end, the flowers are associated with the funeral and with death. Thus, we have a wide range in flower symbolism as to meaning. And it becomes very important for us to try to estimate, in our own case, how our natural tendency would be inclined to interpret these. Sometimes the key to the interpretation comes to us automatically with the dream itself, or soon afterwards it hits us as what it means, particularly if we can relate it to some circumstance or condition around us, which might very well be the cause of such a dream. Then our only problem lies in the determination of our own attitude toward the circumstance as represented by the dream interval. If, therefore, for example, we know that we have taken a certain anxiety to sleep with us, and in the night we have a certain symbolism in the form of a dream, which may or may not appear to relate to the subject. We can, upon awaking, at least consider the possibility that the uppermost anxiety in our mind in some way influenced the symbolic circumstance. And in majority of instances, this will prove valid. Not in every case, however, as there may be a basic urgency beneath the particular experience which has occurred. Now, we know definitely, for example, that all dreams which incline psychologically downward, dreams which move from hazard to menace, dreams in which the individual finds himself or feels himself the victim of a condition over which he has no control, the vision or concept of the drowning man, of the individual being constantly beset until gradually his internal resistances are destroyed, we then find the natural tendency of the dream to reveal a kind of total frustration. It is comparatively rare, however, for a dream to carry this frustration to the point of death. The individual may experience drowning, but he does not experience that he has drowned. He experiences falling, but he does not experience that the fall was actually fatal. Therefore, it appears in nature that man is not normally inclined to develop terminal dreaming. He is inclined to develop disaster dreaming or warning dreaming, that he is falling, that he is in trouble, that he is in disaster. It usually takes very little basic effort to clarify this situation in his thinking. He can begin to estimate the terms of the pressures around him. And he can relate to the general concept that he is being gradually absorbed into a situation over which he has no reasonable control. This dream of impending greatness or vastness, which he cannot hope to master or balance, will be found as almost always a sign of extraordinary discouragement. This type of dream, where it occurs, may take any number of types of situations. A man may dream that he has been bitten by a serpent. It is several miles to the camp where he has snake antitoxin. Every effort is made to prevent him to reach that camp. He feels himself under the danger of death. He feels the poison spreading in him. He is striving desperately to get to this remedy. But obstacle after obstacle delays him. And very often he will awaken in a cold sweat. He will not, however, usually experience the fact that he never got there or that the venom was fatal. He is simply struggling desperately against this danger. In each person, the symbolism will be somewhat different, but the dream of this struggle to survive a hazard in a thousand different guises and likenesses tells us usually the elements of one story. The dreaming itself may give us additional detail bearing upon different personal types of problems. But wherever this dream of being unable to reach safety, or this dream that something is closing in, waters are rising until finally they will drown us, darkness is closing in and we are like frightened children, storms are breaking and we have no shelter, all these types of things have to do with the individual's internal loss of hope, loss of sense of ability to survive obstacles. This is generally psychologically adapted to the letting go process in consciousness. The individual gives up this allotment of the love of life it is being undermined. Something is happening around him which is causing him to fear the loss of his own life. Now, by life, we come again into a very interesting symbol. Because in our dream subject, life is not merely the continuity of the heartbeat. Man symbolically has already extended the meaning of life to include not only physical continuance, but the continuance of the primary purposes of living. When we say a man will live his own life, what we really mean is he will act as he pleases. It has nothing to do with physical continuity. Therefore, a man's life is his work, his dream, his hope, his conviction, his optimism, his faith. It is almost anything by which he secures that vital impulse to continue to endeavor. Where the dream hazards life, it is actually hazarding the purposes of living. And dangerous dreams of this kind arise often where there are frustrations in personal affairs that seem to be hopeless, and to which the individual must either adjust without the loss of this sense of life, or the dream is telling us that he is giving up, and that therefore his ability to perform his various functions properly will gradually diminish unless something is done to correct the situation. So almost any one of many symbols will suggest this. But all these symbols are in one category, basically. And you can probably pretty well sense that the individual who finds himself sinking in quicksand is having a somewhat parallel dream meaning with the individual who finds himself drowning in the sea at night. Now, the difference between quicksand and the sea may or may not be important, depending largely upon the individual's analytical interpretation of his own symbolism. It may mean simply the common sense of the loss of self-existence. But it may also suggest different types of danger. The quicksand problem nearly always implying that the person believes that he was on firm ground. Then he is caught in a situation which is unexpected and finds himself slowly being destroyed. To drown suddenly in the ocean is a quicker kind of destruction, representing perhaps more directly an immediate crisis which must be immediately faced. The quicksand, or whatever it is, may represent the individual's own unconscious quotient. The individual is falling into himself. He is dying into his own introversion. He is losing contact with reality. So to drown has a sense of this loss of contact, loss of reality, loss of a balanced, organized, natural, suitable way of life. In the same way, different types of incidents may be played out by different persons. We know, for example, that in drama, there are about 43 plots, things that can happen to a person or a small group of persons. Yet out of these 43 plots, by their combination and by their various dressings, we have the entire dramatic literature of the race. Therefore, these themes are capable of eternal improvisation. But the basic skeleton is still extremely simple. And the basic pattern in dreams is extremely simple if we are able to reduce the compound to its essential skeletal form. The individual, for example, who dreams of elders, of older persons, who comes under the influence in dreams of wisdom or of learning or of some deep source of satisfaction or progress, usually is then falling into the concept of the traditional factor in life. the individual who seeks wisdom, seeks understanding, seeks knowledge, is most likely to have this imparted in dream pattern through the elder, or through the person to whom we symbolically associate the concept of experience. The old, therefore, if of a benign nature, represent experience. They represent the source of further knowledge, the source of leadership, of guidance, of help, or of protection. They may also, in some cases, imply that the individual needs to have a deeper traditional insight into his own nature. He needs to listen more acutely to the experience lessons which have been given to him in life. We hear the saying, you know, on television and radio, they had a program called The Voice of Experience. The voice of experience speaks in dreams, usually through the elder. Or if it does not speak through the elder, then it speaks through the prelate, through the person in high office, or in some benevolent dignity. Always the experience pattern speaks down from a superior level of attainment of some nature, and would seek to assist us, guide us, or direct us. The voice or the words or the thoughts exchanged with this elder and the advice given must therefore be considered to be advice arising from experience if it is benevolent. If this elder is a sorcerer, a trickster, a magician, a witch, a warlock, a demon, then this elder is not giving us the voice of the experience of things, but is speaking to us out of the prejudicial level of our own psychic development. It is telling us the things that we have built into consciousness that are wrong. Therefore, it is giving ill advice. It is betraying us. And it is telling us that we have already psychologically betrayed ourselves, that we are under the pressure of false value. And that in our dream, this false value, governed by an intuitive perception, relieved of the pressure of false mental conjecture on our own part, is trying to reveal to us something that is wrong in its true light, in its light of being wrong. That what we thought was an opportunity is a temptation. What we believed to be a firm judgment was really a prejudice. What we believed to be strength of character was nothing but narrow-mindedness. These false advisings from the aged usually tell us that our experiences have not profited us well, that we have taken the wrong message, that we have not understood or applied the principles which nature intended. Young people, children, newborn babes, things of this nature in dream symbolism have the meaning that they would symbolically suggest. The majority of persons in this world, consciously or unconsciously, invest their own future in their children. Whether they know it or not, they consider the child as the extension of themselves. The child, therefore, in the dream, is very often an extension of the person into the future. It is the symbol of a new beginning. It is the symbol of a new reaction to circumstance. In other words, the symbol of a new life. But it is a life of our own. And the child symbol usually is associated with some major hoped-for improvement of our condition. It is far more likely to represent a new life in us than to actually refer to children around us. The child also can and does symbolize the child in ourselves, a creature that never dies regardless of the age that we achieve in physical years. Therefore, it can be both the childlikeness and the childishness. As the childlikeness, it is the purity, the innocence, the basic spiritual integrity of the person. But as childishness, it is immaturity, impractical thinking, perpetual adolescence, and the failure of the life to mature. Thus, we can determine some of these values from the way the child functions in the dream. If it is a beautiful child, a loving child, a wonderful child, a child that we have great hope for and have loved very deeply, and for which we feel the most admirable emotions, this child then probably does represent the childlikeness, or the new dream, or the hope of a better self with which we are involved. But if this child is delinquent, hateful, discordant, and a pain and sorrow to us in our dreams, then this child represents our childishness, our lack of maturity, and the streak of perpetual adolescence in our own nature, which is gravitating against the maturity of our lives. The loss of a child in a dream is usually the indication of the giving up of a hope or a project or an idea that is very dear to us. The loss of a child is the loss of an extension of ourselves into the future. It means that something which we deeply desire to accomplish now appears to be impossible or highly improbable. It may also, however, merely indicate that we have weakened our own resolution and have thus sacrificed the child. The effort to save a child from disaster usually indicates that we are trying to save a value in ourselves from being destroyed. The caring and the care for and help of the sick child is very often a definite indication of the fact that we are trying to bring through or reveal some secret value, but are having difficulty in helping this value to attain health in our compound constitution. To attend the funeral of a child generally means the loss of a psychic value or the loss of some hope or hoped for beauty or reality in ourselves. The problem of contact with various creatures may be of some interest to us at the moment. All creatures, again, divide into those that are friendly to man, dangerous to man, or can combine both attributes. Most animals do combine both attributes. But in various cultures, some animals are regarded as more benevolent than others. Therefore, in this symbolism, your cultural platform becomes of importance, also your legendary and traditional background. In Asia, the elephant, for example, has always been a symbol of wisdom. It has also been regarded as a fortunate symbol. To us in the Western world, this is not so easily understood because our legendary and lore do not support entirely. But subconsciously, we still associate the elephant with erudition, with thoughtfulness, and with shrewdness of mind. We also associate it with mass, weight, and awkwardness. It becomes a symbol of imponderable difficulty. If this elephant is friendly, kindly, helpful, and in service to man, then this elephant may well represent the confused and comparatively ill-adjusted personality, which becomes useful to us, but which is a large problem. It represents the elephant, if in difficult relations, represents large problems, heavy matters, weighty decisions. It also, however, suggests some kind of a thorough mental factor, that these decisions by reason can be made. By greater thoughtfulness, the matters can be clarified. If the elephant is tame, the situation can be controlled. If, however, the elephant is rogue, is a destroyer, battles its way through our lives, destroys the villages in which we live, and things of that nature, Then the elephant becomes a symbol of the tyranny of mind. Now, when this mind is not adequately and properly controlled, it is mind as a destroyer. It is intellect as a corrupting or negating force, and may sometimes represent extreme self-will, which will destroy us. Any brilliant or powerful animal set upon destruction usually represents either intensity of emotion or the power of self-will and pride in their more devastating sense. To be identified with a powerful animal, to have a powerful animal as your ally or as your servant, may well signify strong resources available to you. I know one case in which an individual had a powerful bear-like animal that accompanied him. And this animal went along very well, was always his faithful friend, until finally one day this bear was killed in the forest by a hunter who did not know who it belonged to. And, of course, the owner wept very pitifully in his dream and wished that the bear could come back to life. Actually, in interpretation later, it was found that this bear represented his business, represented his instrument of control in society. It was the source of his prestige. It was the means of attaining the various ends. And his anxiety, which caused the dream, was the danger that this business would be undermined and ultimately destroyed by a competitor who was therefore trying to shoot the bear. This type of dreaming can only be clearly understood if we know that the man is in this spot in his business and that he is under these pressures. We might have gotten some idea, of course, from the old association of the bears and the bulls with the stock market. Such associations frequently arise and cannot be at all overlooked. I know a case of a dream in England in which a man had his pocket picked by an old lady with one of these old-fashioned folding parasols, a black bonnet, and a taffeta dress and coat, who had a very motherly, kindly appearance, but was an absolute pickpocket and minor brigand. The symbolism would be meaningless to us, but it was very meaningful in the context of this man, for he was out on the end of a limb in investments. He was hazarding too much money. He had gotten himself into a bad situation, entrusting the wrong people in investments, and therefore was in grave danger of losing and was greatly worried over this loss. And he therefore went back subconsciously to one of the most common symbols used in England to symbolize the English Stock Exchange, which is known throughout the investing world as the Little Old Lady of Threadneedle Street. That is the name of the London Stock Exchange. And this was the little old lady that was picking his pocket. The symbolism arose from perfectly natural association, but without a little help, the man probably would not have consciously bridged this symbolism. So here is another kind of basic lesson. The idea of nicknames, of puns upon words, and of peculiar meanings associated with trade symbols with which we are commonly acquainted every day. We know that trade symbols now occur very frequently in dreams to take the place of the various activities or specialties with which they are involved. So that this situation may help us to determine, perhaps, the nature of an anxiety rising from occupation, investment, speculation, or the general trends of commodities which may influence our lives. Now, the continuation of the animal symbols would, of course, indicate that animals like the lion, signifying royalty, regality, leadership. The lion as the friend may mean not only a strength within ourselves, but also our ability to depend upon important support in our project. The lion turning on us may be a betrayal of both or either. An anxiety which will produce the symbolism would therefore cause the lion to become angry or dangerous. We find that nearly all animals which have been domesticated actually represent friendship for man. The horse is a carrier of man and also a beast of burden for man. Therefore, the horse is frequently a body symbol. In the Chinese, for example, the old Chinese philosopher pointed out the foolish man who was walking down the road carrying the donkey on his back instead of riding the animal as a symbol of man being controlled by his body. Therefore, the horse, the natural bearer of burdens or the natural carrier of man, represents both his body and his personality. But by extension also, this horse can also intimate his career or the direction in which he is traveling. And if the horse is injured, it may again be a symbol of the interruption of purpose or the fear of such interruption. Animals which are frequently around the home usually become symbols of persons or conditions in the home. And therefore, very often, small children are represented by young animals, more often than by young children. It's interesting that when we dream of children, it probably means something else. But when we dream of kittens and puppies, it probably means children. One of the ornery qualities of dreams is their dislike to be literal. This seemingly is too simple and too easy, and would have not permitted any particular glory to have descended upon dear old Dr. Freud. Things had to be more complicated. Actually, home situations are not as often represented by home, as we know or think of the term, as by some relationship of a friendly, jovial, or emotional nature with creatures, situations, or conditions. A mortgage or a heavy responsibility upon the home may very often take the form of fear or worry about clothing. Clothing, by the way, plays quite an important part in dream symbolism. It is seldom a symbol of adornment in dreams. It is much more often a symbol of concealment. It may represent out-of-date attitudes, the person whose garments do not match his time. To see ourselves in poorly fashioned garments is to have subconscious awareness of misgivings or shortcomings in ourselves. To appear suddenly without garments is to be afraid of exposure or to be in the midst of a situation that might cause embarrassment. The individual who finds his garments suddenly soiled or injured and is trying desperately to clean them again is one whose conscience is probably not in the best of shape. He is having trouble trying to clean something out of his character or temperament, and his attitude towards it is affected by his fear that others will observe his difficulty, because applying to his clothing, it represents the part which he presents to another. If, however, he senses this dirt or lack of cleanliness upon his skin, then it is very much more likely to be a worry concerning his own personality in relationship to himself. The layers of circumstances move inward toward the essential nature of the individual. To discover a lost treasure usually indicates or means that the individual is in the presence of new ideas or new values which can be of great help to him in the future. To have the dream of sickness is often a dream of self-pity. It often is part of that same symbolism of the small boy who, after having been slightly punished, turned to his mother and says, "When I'm dead, you'll be sorry." And many individuals who want to hurt other people's feelings have dreams that they are lying blissfully in a coffin and all their enemies weeping over them. This is a kind of revenge dream, a dream that has to do with getting even. And one of the most certain methods by man, by which man psychologically tries to get even with circumstances is by destroying himself. That is one of his most common symbolical procedures. Birds have to do frequently with message, with travel, with insight, with uplifting ideas or thoughts, with guidance or leadership, and because they inhabit an airy region, they are likely to be associated with the mind and with thoughts. Therefore, the birds, having their various meanings and their various symbols, by their appearance to us or by their involvement in our affairs, become symbolic of various attributes. If, for example, we see an eagle, and this eagle flies off and invites us more or less to follow him, or follow it. This eagle representing, as it does, a bird of courage, and also to a lesser degree a bird of prey, but to our thinking, usually a bird of courage, represents an invitation to a more courageous approach or quest for something that is valuable or needed. If, however, this bird turns upon us to hurt us, then we are in danger of audacity. We are in danger of developing the attributes of the talon and the claw and the beak by which our own inner life is likely to betray us. The owl, of course, is the symbol of wisdom and also of mystery and for the search for hidden things. And very often, because of its association with the city of Athens, a symbol of philosophy. The raven or the other talking birds very often signify intuitive experiences or suggest that advice or needed information is likely to reach us or has reached us, but we have not yet been able to interpret it. We haven't been able to make the thoughts of other people talk. But if they do talk, they may lead us out of our difficulties. Caged birds represent usually limitations upon our love, our thoughts, and our affections. Birds of which are associated with water have much more tendency to be associated with our emotional life. Those with air have to do largely with our mental life. The swan, of course, is one of the most ancient symbols of human mystical insight, and appears in this form constantly in Western symbolism. And in the Japanese symbolism and Chinese, the Mandarin duck, which never leaves its mate and never has but one, is the symbol of fidelity. And in the experiences of these people, might very well come through with that kind of meaning. The Oriental peoples also worship the crane or the stork, which likewise had considerable effect in European thinking. Now, this bird was the symbol of patience because it would stand quietly on one foot for hours watching the little pool of water and waiting for lunch. And it would be able to do this for perhaps a whole day without moving. Therefore, that patience, quietude, relaxation, and watchful waiting are indicated in this particular situation. And out of the old traditional legendary and lore of our people, these thoughts. Symbols of battles are usually symbols of conflict in ourselves or conflict with those around us. To be wounded in battle is to be injured in such conflict and therefore to feel psychic injury. The person who is wounded, injured, or in an accident is telling us a story of psychic injury. He is telling us that in some way, in the course of living, he has passed through a psychological accident which has temporarily interfered with his function. Symbols which have to do with arrows or with various weapons are very often quite interesting. Weapons generally represent the abilities of an adversary. They represent powers or conditions which others present to us for which we have no ready answer. A duel very often represents a struggle of two attitudes or two levels of function. A duel frequently indicates social struggle. It represents a situation in which an individual is out of harmony with his social strata, or perhaps is trying to bluff, and is therefore in grave danger of getting into difficulty. A fight or a very heated and unpleasant argument with other persons also means usually psychic stress, discord within ourselves, and arguments between the departments of our own psychic life. Religious dreams of various kinds are also interesting and meaningful to us. The dream of being in church or some experience of that nature is generally either a symbol of internal integration or else the need of it, and the impulse of the person to seek some form of solace. It is a solution through faith or through hope, recommending itself to the consciousness of the individual. Rituals of religion are usually indications of protection or of the availability of insight. For wherever religion appears constructively, it is insight. It represents a contribution from the basic consciousness awareness of the being. Where religion emerges in a dream as a persecuting or destroying force, then it warns us of prejudice and the danger of prejudice arising in our own psychic organization, likely as a result of our own attitude to turn upon us and use our convictions to injure ourselves. Therefore, these convictions must be basically wrong. For wherever a thing normally good takes on an evil appearance, then we have misunderstood or misused a natural fact, and have therefore come under the, might say, the displeasure of that fact, a situation which is being revealed to us. Visions of celestial beings or of divine persons generally represents one of two things. Either that the individual is in an extremity and therefore is making a very strong plea to his basic faith. He is trying to reach into the source of some kind of peculiar and definite strength or need. Or else the individual is in the presence of a strong claim upon his life for some dedication of purpose. Frequently a person under very heavy responsibility has a divine purpose dream, which assists him to carry his burden because he comes to realize or believe that he is fulfilling a spiritual need in his own life. And if the general pattern of this circumstance is benevolent, then this responsibility is proper. If the revelation takes on dogmatic or despotic attitude, then his own willfulness or his own stubbornness is forcing him to stay with a situation that is otherwise not necessary or proper to him. Religious dreams in general represent man reaching for security in time of stress. Therefore, both in waking and in sleeping, emergency nearly always brings strong religious impact. Now, there are all kinds of adventure dreams in which persons pass through various episodes, similar to those in the mythologies of ancient peoples. Usually, in the normal type of adventure dream, the individual involved becomes a kind of heroic person, and the dream becomes a hero dream. This hero dream is not different from almost any of the legends in the Age of Fables. It may be parallel in the Arabian Nights or in the wanderings of Odysseus. But wherever the person engages in a series of heroic exploits, we find the indication, psychologically speaking, that the person is fighting against adversaries psychologically represented by the enemy in the dream. The dragon represents one of the most compound symbols in man's experience. In China, it is a good symbol. In Western civilization, it is not a good symbol generally, although under some conditions it may take on a benevolence. The reason it is good in China probably is because the Chinese mind has been so deeply involved in mysticism that the internal or the unconscious content has become a thing of benevolence. In Western man, the unconscious is a thing of danger. The dragon as a space symbol generally represents the mysterious total power lurking at the source of man, a power of which he is afraid. a power which he does not dare to express, a power which he can scarcely hope to ever understand. Therefore, the dragon is the unconscious and mystery. And to slay the dragon is to overcome the fear of the unknown. To harness the dragon is to make use of the unknown to the advancement of known purposes. And to tame the dragon means to lose fear of the unknown and to transform it into some useful force. Other chimera or monstrous characters in symbolism include the unicorn. The unicorn, this mysterious horse with a horn on its forehead, is for a great many persons the symbol of transmutation. It appears in dreams as a solution symbol, usually. Wherever it appears, the matter can be handled. It is a promise of solution. It is a promise of the necessary insight. And it usually is an announcement that the situation needed will appear in due course or be recognized in due course by the person who has the dream. Various characters and figures and symbols from the age of fable, like the harpies and the sirens, mermaids, nymphs, and things of that nature, representing elementary forces, have a tendency to indicate appetite or rudimentary emotions within man. They have to do with instincts and impulses. And most of your submundane forms in dreams are impulse symbolisms. They represent impulses or urges to do things, many of them not easily explainable, and to fall under their influence, as Odysseus so nearly did, or to be turned into the swine, as the sailors of Odysseus were, by Circe the magician. This type of symbolism means impulse taking over, means imagination or psychism dominating the life. Going on from one type of symbolism to another, we have trees as the emblems of growth. We have flowers as the emblems of unfoldment in Asia and of kindliness or thoughtfulness or wisdom in the West. Flowers are usually immortality and generation symbols. And the interpretation of them, again, is not difficult if the person immediately awaking tries to tie his dream to the previous instants in life which have just preceded sleep. By this means, many symbols, otherwise difficult to understand, can first be generally discovered and then more specifically analyzed. The first step is to determine the broad classification of the dream. The second, the major elements. And finally, the consideration of such details as may be comprehended. If this process is carried on carefully and thoughtfully, the individual will be able to solve the majority of his dreams. Those more complicated may further need the cooperation of an analyst. But for the most part, man can do what he was intended to do. The dreams were meant for him. Therefore, the power to use them is in him if he knows how to find that power. We hope in the course of this series to help you to find some more answers to this subject. Most of the time is up for tonight, so we have to stop.